Welcome to Local Drag. It's a podcast about local drag queens and their thoughts and opinions on RuPaul's Drag Race and the world of drag. My name is Laveau Contraire, and I'm the Voodoo Queen of New Orleans, here to put you all under my spell. Tune in each week as I interview one of my favorite squirrel friends and recap the latest episode of RuPaul's Drag Race and give our unfiltered opinion on the queens of season 13 and Drag Race UK. I am here today with the bodybuilder Barbie herself. It's Miss Toto. How are you?
Honey, I am great. I am alive. I'm thriving. It is Black History Month. You know, I really can't ask for anything more. How are you?
Good. It is Black History Year, okay?
Honestly, always.
I saw something today that was like, here's your reminder that Black History Month begins on January 1st and ends on December 20th. No, that's Christmas. 31st.
There you go. I am fully wholeheartedly ready for that.
Yes. I mean, it's our moment. It's time for us to step into our power. Ain't that what Beyonce said?
Yes, bitch. I've been stepping into my power. I can't wait till I'm back in the club and can push white people out of my way again. That was my favorite thing. And I miss it a lot.
Move. I'm black.
Correct. Move. Just specifically you, white people, white men. Yes. Move.
You truly do embody like unfriendly black hottie energy for sure. Like,
good.
That's the table we would have been at because...
Hello, of course. That's why... Yeah, I'm saying, like, that's why we kind of, like, started that party here, too. It's just, like, there are a lot of Black shows that... I mean, there were quite a few Black shows in Chicago, but we wanted ours to be, like, a party, like, a celebration of being Black without making it so serious. We wanted it to be, like, a Black house party, Black people to the front... Like, Black music, like, it's not just a drag show.
We will not change the music.
No, and it's not just a drag show. It is a party, bitch. Like, it is a house party that just happens to be at the club.
I love that. Yes, we need more of that down here.
Yes. Potty tour 2024 will come.
Yes, I can't freaking wait to get back into the bars, but everybody has to be vaccinated or else it
ain't. Get the girls vaxxed, please.
Yes, so we're working on that part first.
Yes.
But... I know you're from Miami. You mentioned Chicago. So how has that like been a thing in your life? When did you decide to leave and go to Chicago?
So I started drag in Miami. I'm actually from Maryland. So I was
I thought you were from Miami this whole time.
It's a secret. So I'm actually from Maryland. I was in Miami for grad school when I started doing drag. Yeah, by accident. And then I didn't realize it until I was literally like on stage at the drag march in Chicago. Cause I'd been telling everyone, I'm like, I moved to Chicago for drag, this and that, which is like kind of true, but it was even more specific. I moved to Chicago for Black drag. Like all of the Black queens and entertainers that I really looked up to all lived in Chicago. And I didn't realize that's why I wanted to be here.
Yes.
And it was crazy. Like, I'm sitting up on the stage next to Dita, Lucy, Shay, the Vixen. And I'm looking down this row. I'm like, these are a majority of the people who I've been looking up to since day one. And I'm sitting up here with them. And this is part of the reason I moved here. I didn't know this was going to be my path. But, like, here I am. Honey. Here I am sitting at the table.
Honey,
you know?
Let me tell you, from the outside looking in, it looks like the path. Like,
thank you.
You are very much like Lucy, one of those girls who like has not been on Drag Race and probably doesn't need to do it to be successful and have a thriving career that can sit toe in toe with them.
Well, thank you. No, I think that's also special about Chicago because it, despite it being a big city, the drag scene isn't that big, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like everyone knows everybody, everyone sees what you're doing. And it seems like even if there's like beef within the community, it's still very supportive. Like all the shows are generally supported as long as you're a good person. And like, I think that's really special. Like I used to go out like on a Monday and a Tuesday just to see the shows that the new girls were up to. Like yeah, I'm not booked, but I want to go see some drag. Like, and y'all got drag, so I'm going to go see it at the club. Like, and I think that's important, opposed to like, oh, I don't like her. She throws a booger show, or like, I don't like that girl, I'm not going to go. It's like, there's still a lineup of other bitches who are on that cast who would just be elated that there are people there, let alone like people that they look up to in the audience, which I think is really cool.
Absolutely. I love hearing that about the Chicago scene. I like hearing you say you moved to Chicago for drag doesn't sound far-fetched to me, just because like to the average viewer that might sound far-fetched, but it's like Chicago has become quickly like a drag mecca in the U.S.
It's crazy. Like, and we don't have that many spaces. We do have a lot of entertainers, but I wouldn't even say like in reference to like New York or LA, we have that many people.
I think that's what it is. It's not about the quantity. It is about the quality.
Well, but I also like attesting to that, like there is a lot of room for experimentation and like success. Like, there's a show for everybody. Like, that doesn't mean that everyone's going to love it, but you can try it out. Somewhere will probably let you throw a show. It might be on a terrible night. It might be on a Monday. And, like, if, you know what I mean? Like, it might not be like, oh, you're automatically going to get a Saturday night spot. Like, absolutely not. But, like, you might be able to get a Monday night spot, maybe a Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and it'll give you time and a chance to get your name out there. It'll give you a chance for you to mess up, because you don't automatically show up a good host. You don't show up just, like, knowing how to read a room and work all that stuff. So I think despite it being, like, yeah, there are negatives to having a show on a Monday night, but it gives you a chance to practice. And I think a lot of people don't take that moment and be like, yes, I was offered a show on a Monday and I'm going to use this to practice and build my audience and build my skill set, opposed to why'd they offer me a show on a Monday and not a Saturday?
Right. There's like that element of kind of like paying your dues mm-hmm. to an extent, which can be obviously mm-hmm. taken and used poorly.
Poorly.
I do think that like there's something to be said for like working your way into drag. It's not just like you show up one day and you're a star, but I want to get back to talking about Chicago and just to say that like just how fertile it sounds like, you know, like you can start a show, you can be who you want to be. I think that that creativity in the scene only makes the scene better. So New Orleans yeah. is very divided. We've got the top 40 gown dance costume.
Girl, I had no idea. Like, I literally, until last chokehold, I did not know another side of New Orleans existed.
Oh, wow. Well, let me tell you about it. Yeah, it's like in the quarter, and nothing against it. They're beautiful, and a lot of them are pageant queens. Like, it skews pageant, but it doesn't mean that they are. But yeah. in those circles, having a pageant title elevates your career. It really does. So that's what there's a lot of in the quarter. And then there's yeah. the Bywater scene, which you're familiar with. That's more Girl, like,
come on,
creative, underground, grungy. Like, you can literally do whatever you want and somebody in the audience is going to live for it.
Like, that's what I like. I didn't realize. And, I don't know where I was.
And yeah, and we were talking like, about it one day that we just don't compete with each other. Like, it's mostly about you being the best version of yourself instead of competing with her.
Yeah. Which
I feel like the Chicago scene is kind of like that, because it's so creative. It's more about who are you, not
right.
what do you have.
Correct. I think that's what I liked about it. Instead of me like pitting myself against other girls, it was very much like, oh, this is what I'm bringing to the table. And yes. Yeah. And I think that especially now with this whole like shift in the foundation of like the structure of who's holding power in the scene, who's hosting what shows. And now it's kind of been uncovered that the Chicago scene was kind of under like, what's that word? Oh my God, it's not a democracy, dictatorship. So it was under some sort of dictatorship, which now, since that's been uncovered, I think a lot of the performers are realizing that, and we are holding the bars like and venues accountable as well, because it's like these power structures were not only created by one person. It was created because the bars and venues allowed it to happen. Yeah. So it's not specifically one person that needs to be held accountable. It's all y'all motherfuckers need to be held accountable, because that's not how it should be. And the people, especially people of color and Black people, need to be in the positions that we've worked for and that we deserve.
Absolutely, especially when 8 times out of 10, we are working 9 and 10 times harder to get half as far. And I hate
100%.
That, hate that narrative, but it's fucking true.
Yep.
So, you know, I love to see that there are waves being made in Chicago, and I love that, you know, we're kind of a part of this drag renaissance, not only with the COVID making drag virtual, but also with that sort of reckoning that happened, because it rippled everywhere. Like, I know the Atlanta girls are working on their own sort of like drag union situation. Same with me. I'm trying to get a town hall together.
Listen, that's what we're here for. We have a whole committee to help other cities like start their own drag council. Like,
yes,
hit us up. Like, I know it's a lot of work, and there's like, it's been cool to like be a part of it, because I'm the treasurer, bitch. I love money. I love dealing with money. But there's a whole committee to help other cities like get this together, because it wasn't easy for us to do. So like, what we're trying to do is help other Black people get what they deserve and get in the right position. So hit us up, you know?
Yes, I definitely will. I just knew that there was a lot of history here. It's Louisiana, it's the Deep South. Like, it's New Orleans, right, which is a liberal bubble. But being that we all, not all, but a lot of us travel from different venue to venue in different cities and things like that, I organized like a town hall for different areas of Louisiana. And it was going to be like a multi-night event. Started collecting data, got some really interesting and eye-opening stories, but it's kind of been on pause because COVID really, you know, did what she did. She's on her world tour.
Well, honey, when the world opens, the floodgates will also open. It is going to be, it's going to be crazy. I'm excited for it. I'm ready for it. I just hope that there's been enough time to where, like, all of the good stuff comes to fruition. Like, all the work that we've done in the past year, it will probably be 2 by the time things open. Yep. But in the last however many months that we've been working on this, that, like, all that hard work and all that evolution and growth doesn't go unnoticed. Because, yes, like, I was even talking to Bambi the other day. I'm like, when we come back to the clubs, we are brand new bitches. Like, it's not like we sat for months just on our asses not doing anything. We've been working, whether, yeah, that's been in video production or just like learning new skills, like even just like reinventing yourself. Like, it doesn't have to be a monetary thing of getting new looks and new hair, but like just a personal evolution and growth of yourself, like coming back to the club a brand new bitch, whether that's a physical transformation, like inside, like personality, I don't know. I just feel like the person I left last February at Drag Brunch, because that was my last gig, is not going to be the same bitch walking into Drag Brunch this time. Like, I don't know. It just feels very different. I feel like you mentioned before, like, I'm stepping into my power. And I'm realizing who I am as an entertainer, my value, my worth, and then, like, what I'm trying to put out into the universe and what I'm also deciding to do, you know? Like, we don't have to take every gig if we don't want to. We don't have to do these dumbass brunches where we have to perform top 40 if you don't want to. Sometimes, bitch, I understand the bills need to be paid, but we shouldn't be having to do chicken shit gigs to perform for white girls at Drag Brunch. No tea and no shade to the white girls, because they're the ones who actually tip. It's the cis white faggots who don't want to tip. Can I say that? Oh my God. It's the cis, yes, white F-slurs who don't tip.
Because they need to hear it.
Right. Because it's those ones who don't be tipping. The bachelorettes, honey, are the ones who will bring the stacks of ones because they know tipping is compulsory. They bring it and throw it. They throw it.
Yeah.
So, and I don't even care. Like, when I hear stuff about like women and women identified people in queer spaces, that's a conversation I hate anyway, because that's, they're the ones who are tipping and respectful. Because even in Chicago, one thing that I loved is that there's a group here, which is Chicago Drag Love, which is ran by women and women-identified people. And they're the front row divas. Front row every show, phones up. And they're the ones filming you, posting your video, showing you love. They're just, like, the best. And that's something that needs to be spread out. Like, it shouldn't be like, oh my God, girls in the space. Like, no, open up the spaces, open up the venues. So people can feel how they should feel accepted, feel wanted, feel loved, you know?
Right. For a community that's all about acceptance, you would think that we would be a little bit more accepting of not just our trans brothers and sisters, not just the non-binary community, like the people within the rainbow, but also the people that are out there. And
right.
I am not saying that to say peace, love, and light, because sometimes the stalls got to get cracked.
But, right, right. Now, I will run up on a bitch, but respectfully.
But I don't believe that everything should be kumbaya. Like, obviously, you're right. Not going to come into our space with that fuck shit. Like, you know, it's a nuanced topic.
Correct.
Right. At the end of the day, we're coming back new bitches. We're coming back with new energy.
I can't wait.
And it's not going to be the same bullshit that we left with. Because I don't even think, even though like it felt like the end of time, shit wasn't good.
Yeah. No.
Not good.
But now things have a chance to be better, because I think the example that's being set, like I said, in Chicago is rippling. And I don't know, it inspires me to go back and say like, hey, we need to be able to pay the girls. Like, we're not.
Period.
Y'all need us to stay open. We need to get
clearly
paid.
No, clearly, like, since every bar is being shut
this
down.
This is a symbiotic relationship, and we will not just take a cut of the door anymore.
No, we're getting paid, period.
Thank
blank.
You. So let's go ahead and start talking about RuPaul's Drag Race. Who's your favorite Drag Race queen of all time? And this is great because you know a bunch of them.
That's the thing. I'm like, I can't have the girls get upset at me because they're my friends. But I would say my favorite competitor, as far as the show goes, of all time, is probably Shea Coulee's run in All Stars 5.
Yes.
Like, that is the definition of coming back a brand new bitch. She took all that she learned the first time, all the money that she worked her ass for, came with the knowledge, the prompts, the references. She did exactly what needed to be done as far as Drag Race went. And then with that, despite the world shutting down, she's still doing major shit. It's crazy. I would say, she's one of my favorites, but then also Jada Essence Hall is just beyond
the essence.
Like, the essence of beauty, and she's so kind and like just actually a sweet person. And it, like, watching her on the show is just very like a beautiful thing, because people tend to speak down about pageant girls, and she even like played on that in her I think it was her promo look, like pageant queen or whatever. But like, yes, she is, but she's so much more than that. And I think that's something that she like brought to Drag Race that people haven't seen before.
Absolutely.
And I love that.
I think that she didn't rely on the pageant girl thing. It makes me so mad when I see Drag Race like production storylines so clearly. It's like, I'm a pageant queen, can't do anything else but pageant. Surprise! I'm not a pageant queen anymore.
Right.
It's like, just because you're a pageant queen doesn't mean you have to rely on that sort of like box anymore.
Right.
And Jada didn't do that. She was everything that they needed her to be every moment that they needed it. And excellent.
And then some.
Excellent.
And then some.
Woo! Love it. But yes, I agree with Shady Kool-Lady. She's brilliant. There is no one else like her. So I feel you on that.
Love them both.
What about the lip syncs? What has been your favorite?
Okay, this is easy. Easy. Hands down, Dita Ritz. Like, that's
ding, ding, ding.
It. Point blank, period.
I really need, I think there might be one episode that I've done where someone did not mention Dita Ritz. Talk about a legend. Ugh.
I am about to go swing by her apartment and pick up some prints. She lives like a block away from me.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
The blessing.
I know. Like, she is, I don't know. It's crazy to think about, because I remember watching that lip sync live. Well, like live as RuPaul's Drag Race is. Watching that lip sync, I was sitting with my friends on like a twin bed in college and watching this bitch lip sync her ass off on TV. And then now she's like, hey girl, I'm almost home. You want to swing by and pick up those prints? I'm like, oh my God. Like, it feels very, like, the ground shaking. I'm like, why am I here? Why is Dita texting me?
Why did God give me this talent?
It feels very like surreal, but she is that lip sync I think about at least every day of my life.
Like it's literally that good. Like, I mean, I think there was someone else on stage, but she
okay, was it, this is not shade, was it the princess?
It was the princess. It was the princess.
Okay, period. Because I also like the princess, but she got cheap.
Oh, yes. It was the Dita Ridge show. Okay? Absolutely.
Right.
All right, let's get into the episode. It's Drag Race UK Season 2, Episode 6.
Okay, right. Okay, refreshing my
Run your brain back. Okay. We just had the viewing party. It was so much fun, honestly. One of the most fun. Don't tell everyone else who's been on this podcast. But it was one of the most
fun. I did have a lot of fun, bitch.
viewing parties that we had. It was just very unfiltered, I will say.
Right. Because I was also on an edible and drinking with you. So you're going to get
I had a glass of wine, the most unfiltered I am. It's totally fine.
A glass? I saw you have a couple.
You know, for me, a glass is sometimes a bottle. Joe Black went home.
Here's the thing. Joe Black needed to go home. Like, she is, like, people, especially from outside the Drag Race world, always talk about these people as legends. And I feel like sometimes they get in their head, they're like, I'm a legend. So I don't need to do all this and that to succeed on the show because I am a legend. And outside of Drag Race, Joe Black is a legend. On Drag Race, you showed up with some fuck shit and acted a fool, and you needed to go.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry.
I mean, you're not wrong. It was H&M.
But even the performance with the H&M, like, she maybe could have sold the performance. I don't know. It just, she always is giving me spooky Disney hands when that may not be the prompt. I was just like, girl, maybe that's your gig in a dark, smoky cabaret club, and we're here for it. But, bitch, you don't need to be doing spooky Disney hands to a Donna Summer song. Like, that's just not what it's giving.
Oh, my God. Not the spooky Disney hands. Well, yes, she got sent home. And it's just like the beginning again, which is funny because Tia said, like, no one wants to go home first after the break. Which makes it literally like the beginning again where Joe went home.
yeah, I think that was a setup anyway. They were like, we're going to bring this bitch back just so we can boot her ass
I mean, it's
again.
Literally only happened once that someone came back and didn't go home immediately. And they lasted
right,
until the next episode.
I don't know. Right. So, and also, like the beginning again, which is kind of scary and, like, sad, but did have a chance to, I'm not saying revamp themselves as coming back with new looks because I don't think that's expected upon a pandemic, but like, bitch, you should have been practicing your makeup skills, practicing sewing skills. Like, you had 7 months, you had a little, you got your feet wet, and now you're coming back with a whole bunch of new knowledge of what the competition's like. Take that skill, take that knowledge that you have and then run with it. Like, oh, I showed up the first time not knowing how to sew. Let me learn how to sew on these.
Bitch!
Or like, right, you know, if, I don't know.
Give
don't
me
know.
7 months in the middle. You know all your competitors. You know what they brought. You know, like, exactly right. How to one-up them. Like,
right.
I would have definitely been like, even if I don't have the money because it's COVID, I would have been like, hey, I'm a RuPaul's Drag Race. I need some outfits. I need this. Tia Coffee. I need a new wardrobe.
I would be like, favor anyone. And it's also, as a performer, entertainer, if you are nice to people, people will be willing to get to do favors for you, especially if you are on Drag Race. Like, we know, if someone asks me, they're like, Toto, I know you have this look. I'm about to go on Drag Race. I don't have the money to get it made. Can I borrow this? Yes, you can, because you're about to be on TV, girl. Like, and there are wig makers and stuff. Like, I know people will do like loans or payment plans, but like, even just having their work showcased on Drag Race, they know that, like, you're going to make that money back somehow.
Absolutely.
It's COVID. It's not going to come back as fast. But they're going to make their money back somehow.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Like, just the notoriety.
If you came back after 7 months with the same person that you left with, I don't understand what you did.
Right.
Like, well, I don't know what you
unless you're Taste and you're just perfect and you don't have to change anything.
Well, there's also that.
But, I mean, it looks like all of the girls are kind of stepping it up. So I'm excited to see what comes next, especially from Sister Sister, because...
Now, listen, sister, I don't want to speak poorly of her because she's going through it online right now. Because the girls are dragging her. But sister did come back a brand
new bitch. She did.
And by that I mean she's not sister anymore. I mean she's a new sister
with teeth.
With teeth. And I don't know, as someone who like had very punk beginnings, I feel a certain type of way that she's like not even remotely punk anymore. She is like giving very much packaged pretty drag queen. And I'm like not seeing any part of like the artsy grunge punk that she like came with the first
time. Yeah, I think that it scared her. I think she kind of got scared that that wasn't going to take her as far as she wanted to. So she said, give me that Ahura knockoff.
Right. Give me the Ellie Diamond wig. Give me these few cute A-frame dresses, babes. You know, like, I don't know. It just wasn't giving that, like, oh, she's cool and punk vibe anymore. It's like, oh, now she's, like, trying to be everybody else to try to
Right,
win.
Exactly. So one of the things that they discuss in the workroom is RuPaul's outburst, the H&M that we already referenced. Oof. How did you feel about
right.
it?
Right. So listen. I understand what she was trying to say. I said this on Twitter before my Twitter was
suspended. Oh, no.
I said, like, did she need to say it in that way? No. But what she was saying is, the look, you're on Drag Race. The look needs to be elevated. So did she need to bring up H&M or the fact that it was from H&M? No. What she needed to say was, this is Drag Race and it's the main stage. Like, if you're going to be wearing something that plain, judge it up. And like, and people are trying to say, like, oh, well, this is during a pandemic and this and that, this and that. I'm like, bitch, there are many ways that you can spruce up a dress. And one of them is with some cheap AB stones, bitch. Like, I don't care how broke you are. A bag of stones is a bag of stones. And I'm not trying to support Jeff Bezos, but a bag of 1400 AB Jawline crystals on Amazon.com is like $9. Right. throw them on the dress. And keep it moving.
Yes. I mean, there are ways. Think about it. The Vixen makes outfits out of paper that look like couture.
Correct. Exactly. Drag queens make things. Like, if you want to do something like that, like there's I'm just looking around the room right now. There's so much fabric and plastic and paper around me that I could just like utilize to make something
together.
Out of.
Okay.
So that's a right.
But
I don't know. But it's like you chose to wear, and she knew it was a bad idea. That's the other thing. She was like, I have this pink dress kind of, and it's kind of not giving. So why would you wear it with the little Artful Dodger black?
Especially if this is like your chance to come back. Like, I would make sure that nothing was out of line. Okay.
At all. It doesn't make
sense. But anyway, flashback to this week.
Okay, yeah.
RuPaul, you know, had an outburst and they were shook, but apparently RuPaul apologized, which I thought was cute. Somebody must have told her to do that.
Whoever was in her earpiece was like, okay, you kind of went off. Like, we need you to bring it back. Like, don't do that again.
Right.
The girls will drag you on.
Exactly.
The internet.
And then we get a cute clip of Bimini predicting the top four. She says that Lawrence has three badges, Ahura, Taste, and her have one. Where's Sisters and Ellie's?
Okay, also, no shade. That is my top
I
four.
I see it.
Like, I don't, like, I... Sister can go. I don't care about her. But Ellie, I think she's a really sweet girl. She has a huge future in front of her. She makes a lot of shit. She, like, is... She's just very fresh, and I think that's really good for her. But she's not giving me...
No, not at all. She doesn't know who she is. And that... is
right.
The issue. She's so cute, though. She has, like, these cute wigs that she can make, and the stoning, it's great.
Super cute!
But I think she'll be good on All-Stars.
She's so cute. Put, bitch, she's gonna come back All-Stars
I
as
hope
new girl.
So.
Which is
brand new bitch.
Yeah, she, brand new bitch. And I think because, like, when this, I think a lot of girls on this season are still figuring out who they are.
Yeah.
Tia doesn't, is, Like, I'm looking at Tia's posts on Instagram now versus who she was in the workroom, and I'm like, she's figuring it out. And we're watching her figure it out in real time.
Yes, and we talked about that during the viewing party. I'm sure we'll get to it again when we talk about Tia, but, like, that's a thing. Like, Drag Race really wants you to know who you are to an extent, and also, like, show how you as a character or an entity would move through these different challenges.
Right.
So
you have to be able to,
you can't do that if you don't know who you are. You're just going to try to give something else, you know?
So, right. 100%.
It's very interesting. But it's a new day in the workroom, and there is no mini challenge because it's the Snatch Game.
It's the Snatch Game, too. I never understood the UK Snatch Game, but that's also sometimes not the point of Snatch Game. Like, you don't need
to totally
know the
agree. It's very weird sometimes because you're just like, I don't know this reference. But I think back to Lil Edie, and I did not know who Lil Edie was, but I was still tee-heeing. And, you know, the same goes for a lot of those characters. But funny is funny. It's a universal language.
Funny is funny. Like, and that's why I was, not to jump ahead, but like Bimini, don't know who she played, but I was losing my mind.
I want to get to know. A good Snatch Game will make you go Google somebody.
Right. Because then I'm going to laugh even harder at the Snatch Game once I understand the reference.
Yes. So Tace is nervous, which I anticipated because she's gorgeous and she's a model. So it's like, can she be funny?
Okay. But yeah, I feel like Tace is one of those people who, like, doesn't realize that she's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the shit, like, as a talking head on the show, she's hilarious. But then if you're like, Tace, be funny, she's like, wait, I don't know how to be funny. You know, like, because she is funny. She's hilarious. But then, like you said, when she's ran up on about Snatch Game, she's like, wait, am I funny? Like, how do I be funny?
And you know who had that same problem? Alyssa Edwards.
Right.
Like, she didn't realize the first time through how sickening she was.
Right, she's hilarious and sickening
right at the same time, and it's a great combination. But I don't know if Tace is gonna have I'm thinking the same thing could happen for Tace, where she comes back for All Stars and realizes how funny and sickening she is.
Girl, Tace for All Stars. Now listen.
But if she doesn't win, I have to.
Okay, right. If she does not win, when she comes back for All Stars, because not an if. If she does not win, when she comes back for All Stars,
yeah,
it is going to be because the slayage right now is crazy. So imagine her with the new platform, the new budget, the new understanding for Drag Race. She about to eat.
It would be like Shea Coulee all over again, where we're just like, give the crown to Tace.
Like, day one in the workroom, give the crown. Like, period.
Yes, period. I'm black.
Thank you. Like, that's such a good entrance line.
But also, I don't know, I'm just really getting strong Bimini vibes. This episode really shone a light on her.
She's just the one for me. I can't. There's nothing I can say. She's the one.
She's the one. So Lawrence flat out tells Ellie, you're not funny. So what are you going to do?
Like, okay. Also, like, Lawrence, you are a funny girl, but, like, how about you worry about yourself? Like, go worry about your Snatch Game. Like, why are you telling this girl she isn't funny? Like, you're not helping her.
But you don't think a producer was like, hey, y'all three, have a conversation.
I'm sure they were like, hey, Lawrence, tell Ellie she's not funny.
Talk about the challenge.
Like, go tell this girl who didn't ask for your opinion that she's not funny.
Yeah, like, around the corner, they tell her that, and they're like, okay, let's go. Hey, y'all, let's have a conversation.
Right, like, Ellie's literally over here, like, minding her fucking business. And then Lawrence is like, so you're not funny. What now?
So what you gonna do?
Right.
And RuPaul kind of says the same thing when she walks through, except she says that she has a twin brother.
Okay, listen, I was over that storyline from the jump. Like, this seemed like the fucking episode where all the girls just wanted, they all thought they were going home, so they wanted to get their sob story in. They're like, okay, like, I'm going home, this is my episode to cry. So, like, Ellie got her story in about her twin brother who never bullied her. Like, I guess that's a storyline. Like, I was more here for, I'm the broke drag queen that worked at, like, a fast food restaurant. Like, that was giving more storyline for me.
Because that is rooted in a struggle that people can relate to. Her struggle, I wrote this down in the outline, I have so much support. Like,
huh?
Like, my family, they're behind me. And it's like, girl, read the room.
Or like, oh my God, my dad doesn't accept that I'm gay. It's like, no one does. I mean, mine does. But like, you're not special. You're literally not.
But that's the thing special. Is like, you're like, crying because you miss your brother who accepts you and loves you so much. It's like, this is weird, but Bryce.
This is weird. And then I don't know. I didn't understand the storyline. I think maybe they're just trying to make us like her. They're like, let's give her, let's try to make her relatable. Like, she has a brother. You have a brother. Everyone has a brother.
I guess all she said was.
Right. Like, that would have been. Exactly. So she, I don't know. I think that they're probably going to push her to top four.
Oh, God. Don't do that.
I feel like they're going to, and which means someone that I want as top four is not going to make it. And it's making me very upset.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that in the tea and speculation section.
Uh-huh, right.
But we get to Bimini, and she's just such a cute little, like, hippie rock star. And she's like, you just have to have fun with it and don't take it too seriously.
And I think like, that's the attitude to have about life.
I mean, that is all I can hope if I ever get on that show, that, like, all I do is have a good time.
And I think that's what she's like. She's like, yeah, I'm focused and I'm here to like win. But Snatch Game isn't something, if you watch Drag Race, that you can overthink. Because if you overthink it, you're going to then in turn not be funny.
Yes.
Which has happened to too many funny people.
I think that's why a lot of the comedy queens don't do as well, which Lawrence talks about, is because if you're overthinking your set, or you're used to doing like stand-up where it's like this joke, then this joke, then this joke, you might miss some of those like funny interactive moments.
Right. And I think that's the problem with a lot of these like funny queens, because they like plan bits and like responses in their head already. And then when they're hit with something they're not ready for, they automatically go back to the response they already have prepared, which sometimes might not fit the brief.
Right. And I think it's probably heartbreaking to have this amazing bit in mind and not know where it fits. So you're like, well, I have to include this bit because it's funny. But it's like, if it don't make sense, it don't make sense.
Like,
you can like, sit on the joke.
Like, prepare them. Sure. Have a couple responses ready. But if it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. And that's when I think you need to be able to think.
Yes.
And we talked about it. At the viewing party, and I was like, I don't know why they make them do Snatch Game, because not everyone is impersonation queen. But now that I'm thinking of it, it's about how fast you are on your feet in general. Because like we said at the top of this, like, we don't sometimes know these characters, but if the character is funny, it's funny. And it's how fast you're responding, and it's how you're taking these questions, not necessarily making them funny, because like Bimini didn't answer one of the questions.
Right.
Like,
and that's where the big...
Right.
Perfectly. That's the thing. You know, like, you just have to know where to apply. You prepare as much as you can, but then in the moment, you got to let go.
Right. I don't know. It's maybe just like, that maybe I'm understanding that game a little more. We're talking
about Oh, yeah. It's really just about listening to RuPaul and then making RuPaul laugh, which is not the same as being funny. It's not.
Correct. Those are two separate issues.
You know, this is going to age well if we get on the show and then have like horrible Snatch Games and we're like,
listen, I'm going on American Ninja Warrior.
Oh my God. So. Yes. Who needs Drag Race when you're an American Ninja Warrior?
Yeah, that's my, like, I would like to do that.
Oh my gosh. I could see it. Like, you in drag doing those fucking challenges would be so sick.
Eating like cow intestines, like,
yes.
That's major.
Amazing. Sorry, it's major. More drag in more places. I'm here for it.
Period.
So, guess who else is crying? It's Ahura.
Like, she was like, oh, I'm going home. Like, I don't understand. Like, I'm just really insecure in myself. And I'm just like the funny fashion queen, but I'm more than that. Like, I don't know who I am. It's like, listen, Ahura, you know you're fucking sickening. You're scared you're going to go home. That's why you're crying. You're not crying because you have... you're like discovering who you are. You're crying because you're scared.
I think she is on some level. I think she's hiding behind those eyebrows. Like, she
in the filler
wants to put forth this. She already touched on the childhood trauma of being picked on, so she picked on other people. That's
right.
That's a lot to unpack. But I think also she puts on this, like, I'm a horror, I'm fashionable and a little bit of a bitch. And
right.
Now she's lost herself in that persona.
I do. She mentioned it, I think, maybe two episodes ago. She's like, I look like a sourpuss, but I'm actually really nice. And I will help you if you ask for it. And if I see you struggling. And she did that. She helped Jason. Like, of course, they're best friends. But I think if she saw anyone who was generally nice to her struggling, who would she consider a friend, she would probably help them. Because, like, that's... that. I feel like it's also just a sign as a person. Like, if you have a skill and you see a friend... or even someone you would like consider a friend struggling, like, I know how to sew. Let me help you at least turn on your machine.
Right.
Like,
that's the thing is, like, if you are truly skilled, it shouldn't matter how much you help someone else because it's not going to take away from what you can do.
Especially if you're like the fashion girl, like you are, your garment's probably already done. Like, go help somebody. And she, and I think she at least did that with Taster. They showed us that. And I think if other girls were struggling, I don't think Ohora would not be the one to help them. Like, she, like, I generally like her. I like her.
Right. But at the same time, it's a competition. So,
right. I'd be like, oh, here's how you turn on. And then,
and then you, like, you're not going to eat me up.
No, you're not going to eat me up in the sewing challenge.
Okay.
Right.
So we get to the actual snatch game, and it's a lot. Yes. It's interesting. Like, every year someone bombs snatch game, but you just don't expect it to be as bad as it is sometimes.
I feel like, no one bombed, but there were a lot of, like, flatliners.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't say that, like... Lawrence was terrible, but she wasn't great.
Right. I think it has a lot
Tia was not
editing in the scoring.
Right. Because it's like, okay, Lawrence could have been funny if didn't edit it, would make it awkward. Like, show us the whole snatch game without your, like, little quips and, like, sound edits, because I might have laughed. Like,
right. And I think that should, like, exist somewhere, you know, like the unedited cut, because I have a feeling sometimes that Lawrence isn't the only person whose joke or bit went on longer than what they showed, you know?
Girl, you know sisters went on too long.
Right, like, they let them talk and get it out. It's probably best to be brief, but I don't, they could have cut and edited that and put a laugh after it, and then we would have been like, Lawrence did well.
Exactly. That's why I'm like, we don't see a lot even from sister, and we don't see a lot from Ellie.
Yeah, like at, like, all.
At all. And I think that, like, even if they bombed, we wouldn't know.
Exactly.
We definitely wouldn't even know.
Exactly. They want to fit the narrative, okay? So,
right.
From left to right, Tia is pretty
terrible.
Terrible, cringy. it's like, how do you not know not to say the same joke three times in a row? Like, that's not going
to
work.
That's all she had. That's tying back to, okay, I know this one joke, I know this bit, and it has to fit every brief, when that's not the case.
Yeah. Like, there's so much more.
She didn't make a play on Spice.
She also didn't even make a play on Spice World.
She didn't make a play on any of the other bitches in the group. She could have, like, even if you only know the other members of Spice Girls and Eddie Murphy, you could build a whole...
I was just about to say that. Like,
narrative,
if you make, you know, every joke about another member of the Spice Girls and then one about Eddie Murphy, that's the whole snatch game, and all you have to do is have a joke related to each one of them. Easy peasy.
Make it up. Like, she knew one thing about Mel B and not enough about... like, even just thinking more abstractly, like, I'm sure she could, like... tell us the other members of the Spice Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And she just was thinking very one track, which I think was her demise.
Right, exactly. So that sucked. Sucked for her. I was just like, oh, well, you're going home. Then we have Sister, who's... it's weird.
Flatline.
It's flatlined. Like,
I just didn't understand the character. That doesn't make it be funny, but it just wasn't funny nor... yeah, it just wasn't funny, period.
It really sucks because I think this is the end of psychics on Snatch Game. Like, I don't think anyone else can do it anymore.
No, Miss Cleo was a flop. Wait, who did Miss Cleo? Priyanka?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a no. Like, no psychics. Who did Teresa Judas? Someone did her, the Long Island Medium?
Yes. Jocelyn, no.
Was it funny?
It was really funny. Who was it?
Okay, right. Because Teresa Judas is a good one.
Why can't I can see them in my mind's eye, but I can't tell you who it is. But
let me find out.
Okay, Google. So
Wait, was it Jocelyn? It was Jocelyn
okay,
Fox.
Okay, it was Jocelyn Fox. That's right, I thought. But I don't think anyone can do it again, which sucks because like I would love to do a Miss Cleo and do it well.
Why not? Do it well. That's the thing. If you do it well, the only thing you can do, this is what I always think, you can do something that someone else has done as long as you do it better.
For sure.
Period.
And what about Beyonce?
I wouldn't even touch that. Like,
I know, right? Like, it's just like everyone knows, don't fuck with Beyonce.
Leave it alone. Like Beyonce as a person, I wouldn't consider her someone like super quotable and funny. Could she be made funny? Probably. But if you're not that person to make her funny, don't try it.
Right.
Just because you have love to know. Beyonce, don't try it.
You have to know that your Beyonce is going to be like on the floor laughing funny.
Right. And it's not ever going to give that.
Right. So then we get to Lawrence.
Who I am convinced that Lawrence was funny and they just made us believe that she wasn't funny.
Okay. I accept it. I think Lawrence is just a funny person. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's the scoring and the music getting to me as well, but I just feel like she overthought it.
Right. There's also that. Like, I think at this point in the game, it's not looking for who is the best. It's looking for who fucked up this specific day.
Right.
And this was not Lawrence's day.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And she won 3 times in a row. You know, I think she was fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Like they're not sending Lawrence home.
Let the other girls try, okay?
Exactly.
Then we have Ellie. What do you think about Ellie Diamond?
She was fine. I don't know her character. She gave what needed to be given for the specific like brief, which once again make RuPaul laugh. It's not necessarily like you need to be funny.
Yeah,
you need to be funny and relatable to RuPaul. So Ru knew the character. It was funny enough. I think it's fine.
That's all that matters. And that's kind of how I feel about Taste, because I don't know this character either, but it was like making everyone laugh.
Right.
Great.
I definitely don't know the character.
But she did it.
And I didn't get the reference.
Yep. And she still made them laugh. I was confused, but you know, it's fine.
Right. Exactly. I was confused, but glad I'm still in the running.
Exactly. So glad. Then we get to Ahura. I love this bodysuit.
Okay, I need the bodysuit. It is also a bodysuit that Beyonce has from On the Run. Yep. Was it On the Run 2?
Except it looks weird on...
But the fringe on Beyonce.
Yeah.
It looks weird on Ahura, but also the fringe is crystal on Beyonce's and not fabric. Beside the point, I think Ahura was also funnier than they gave us.
Oh, yeah. They didn't show her nearly at all. Like, it was like once or twice.
And I know she was funny. Like, I... know it, and they just didn't give us, they didn't want, so here's the thing, they didn't want us to think that Ahura was even touching Bimini.
Oh yeah.
Like they wanted this to be Bimini's episode to just eat, and they gave us that.
Right, and that's the thing that the story producers do.
Like if I was Ahura and Snatch Game, I'd be like, y'all are shady.
Right, because you can't even know in the moment because you're just doing your best and playing your heart out, and then in the edit they show like a blip.
Oh my god, yeah. So I think Ahura did a lot better than they showed us. And I character didn't know who it was, but I was laughing. Like the leg trick and like the bodysuit, like over the top gay with the lisp. Like I loved it.
Yes. Absolutely. So shout out to Ahura. And then we have fucking Bimini.
Okay, I am Bimini stan, like through and through, no one can touch her. Like, protect Bimini at all costs.
Absolutely. Like,
that's it.
I just...
That's it.
This exposed freaking breastplate is killing me. The voice is so perfect. I don't know this character, but, like, I'm convinced. And
yeah.
This is where I fully hopped on the Bimini stan train.
About the eyes or the nipples to the face. Or the nipples of the eyes to the face is what she said.
And then she said to Rue that you've got gorgeous nipples.
Like, that is hilarious. Like, did she prepare that? Probably not.
I don't know, but that's the thing. If you did, then good on you. You know, you wrote something that...
And I don't think she did.
If she didn't, like, then she's that much more of a legend.
Like, I think that is the type of Snatch Game you have to do. And I think also, just, like, thinking of Ahura, if she played that, like, there probably is a famous girl from Essex. Her Essex girl character is iconic. So if she played Snatch Game as a famous Essex girl,
oh yeah, she might have won. She just might have.
Like she could have easily, and they could have dragged her on it, but she could have played that over the top Essex girl, and
yeah, they could have dragged her for using it again, but they couldn't have said it wasn't funny if it wasn't.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Well, I mean, they can put whatever music they want behind it, but whatever. Exactly. So the Snatch Game was great up until Trump and Margaret Thatcher were on the screen.
Like, I would love for Drag Race and World of Wonder to leave the Trump like stuff alone.
We invite you to not.
Like I like even if it's a drag queen from another country doing a cosplay of Trump, like it's not a great topic in America. And then to see Trump in any regard as a black person on TV on a show that you're trying to like watch and enjoy, it's just like a little distasteful in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And gross. I'm like why, like I don't want to even think about this man. We have a new white man in the office to worry about. Like, stop traumatizing us.
Okay, please. Exactly. So as soon as it came on, everyone in the viewing party was just like, what is this again?
I was like, can y'all leave it alone?
Right.
Like,
leave it alone. You could have gotten a video message from anyone else. Like, Priyanka was available.
Literally. Get Omarosa, bitch. Like, someone else. Like, literally anyone else. There are lots of Republicans who we also hate. But, like,
I don't know.
Right, exactly. Too much. But that is basically the Snatch Game. Do you have any more thoughts about it?
No, I just,
once again, I feel like they edited it in such a way that there could have been funnier moments from other people, but they narrated the story to be in specific people's more favor than the other. Like, not saying they edited Bimini, like, Bimini was fine, but I think there were other people that could have had a chance at being funny,
yeah.
And they weren't given a chance based on the edit.
Yeah, I feel you. So that's how the production crumbles. It's still the Snatch Game is still apparently the reason that some people watch the show. Like, I was like, I mean, it's cute.
I don't believe that.
I think it's because it's gotten this name for being like the deciding episode for who's a front runner.
Okay.
I understand that because that's like the halfway point.
Right. Exactly. So I can see it on that end, but either way it happened this season. It was Bimini's time to shine. And if you ask me a week from now, nothing else happened.
No, she shined.
Everyone else was there. So yeah, that's the Snatch Game. We're going to get into Elimination Day and these runway looks right after this break. And we're back.
We're back.
And we're black.
We are black. We are also black.
So it's elimination day. And of course, Lawrence is feeling nervous, as she should.
Because she knows, I think even like with the reactions of the other judges, she knows that she needs to like slay this runway. And even something that I've just watched on Drag Race, it's like a runway won't save you. If you had a bad week or if you had a bad maxi challenge, the runway will only do so much.
Yeah, I think I said it in the episode about Drag Race US this week. The runways don't matter, sweetheart.
No, they don't. Like, why don't, like, it will set you up for failure, it will ruin you, but like as long as you look kind of okay, you're gonna be fine.
Right, it's really about like tiebreakers and deciding like who is above who. So if you both did well in the main challenge, whoever has the best runway will win. If you're both in danger of going home, whoever had the worst runway will probably lose.
Correct.
So,
track record, because they were not sending Lawrence home, period.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. RuPaul already said it's Lawrence Chaney, and then it cut. Like, this was in episode 2, maybe? She said, it's no secret that I love Lawrence Chaney, and then it was a hard cut to another person talking. Like, what did she say after that?
We don't know.
So she's not going home. So she's going to be in the finale. But yeah, it's very interesting how they cut that. But I think you're right. She's not going home. We know that Bimini is probably going to win no matter what she wears.
Correct.
And Tace is going to elevate her status just by wearing something sickening.
Oh my God, she's just an icon.
Absolutely. But, you know, just, before like, we get to the fun runway part, we have to go back to Bryce.
Like, once again, talking about her very much alive brother. Where's the trauma, babe? Like, we don't even need to talk about
that. I love that you brought this up during the viewing party. You were like, Bryce is alive, just for everyone. Like,
why are we doing this? Like, why are we having this big moment of like, oh my God, my brother loves me. Yes, your brother loves you, and he's at home. Very much alive.
And he should. He's your brother. We get it.
I'm like, bitch, I don't give a fuck about your brother, and especially if he's alive. Like, right, why are you telling us about your very much alive brother and how much he supports you? Like, okay, great. Next. And why are you having that much brown on your face?
She's literally crying over and over.
Like, let's start with, like, instead of crying about your damn brother who is alive, let's unpack why there's so much brown on your face.
Really, though, it's quite shocking, but I think she goes over it with like a clown white.
She does, but that's not the point. You shouldn't even like her makeup is darker than mine.
It really is.
It's confusing.
Like, look at sisters next to hers. Like, girl.
Right.
Tace's makeup is lighter than hers.
Yes.
Interesting. Some girls. Somebody's girls. But yeah, she also talks about her dad not accepting her, which I guess makes her brother her new dad. I don't know. Something's wrong there. But
it's weird.
Blah, blah, blah. Ellie Diamond. You would think that she was going home this week by how she like.
This is her storyline.
So hard. Yeah, it's really weird. I almost feel like sometimes production is onto us and they know that we think that anytime there's a sob story that person's going to go home. And they started putting it in an episode early.
Oh, okay. Brilliant.
But we'll see next week. We'll see. So then we get to the runway and we have RuPaul wearing this black sequin.
Doesn't make sense.
Double doesn't slit. Make sense. I don't like that the thing in the middle, the like middle panel.
I don't get it.
It comes down flat. Like, it doesn't come down to a point. I feel like it
hits blunt, like a blunt bang.
It's very that. And yeah, I guess the back must do that too, but I think they both should be points, but maybe not.
Like, she's serving and looks great, but like, I don't know. It's
just not my favorite RuPaul look. Usually they're extravagant and look inaccessible. This looks like homegirl around the street, like,
you can get this made. This.
Yeah.
You, especially with the nude, like, mesh at the top, that is a drag queen outfit.
It's very white nude, too.
Boo!
Very hashtag not my nude.
Hashtag not my nude. I don't think it's her nude either, to be honest.
Yeah, it's not. It's a little bit lighter. It's her highlight color. It's the color of the wig.
It's actually Raven's skin color. Actually, no, Raven's skin color is darker than Rue's.
When she paints dark.
Girl, she always be painting dark.
Yeah, exactly.
Happy Black History Month, Raven.
So anyway. I'm so excited because Jessie Ware is on the panel.
Everyone stream Jessie Ware starting March 1st when it's not Black History Month. She is so good.
I just went and added like all of her music to my like most recent playlist because I'm just like, I love your whole catalog.
Like, no, it's amazing. Like, this last album is Fluff Your Pleasure is what it's called, correct?
So good, yes.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing.
So good. I love her. Unproblematic white fave.
Right.
For now.
For now.
Nobody gets that girl. Title forever, okay?
Reese Witherspoon. She's holding on pretty well. Minding her fucking business.
Look. We said that. Tomorrow she's going to come out with some damn QAnon statements or something.
No, Beyonce sends her PR. She's unproblematic forever.
Okay. We'll trust in the power of Beyonce.
Right, I'm trusting.
But the theme this week is prehistoric.
Okay,
and this
right.
is a sickening runway.
So, okay. The Ahura runway, I understand what she did. It's very reminiscent of Aquaria.
Very.
I definitely get it. Still of Aquaria, but I wouldn't say it's the same look. But the thing that made it more Aquaria to me is the face thing. Like, you could have taken that bone idea and done it as a choker, done it as shoulder pieces, leg pieces. Like, it could have gone really anywhere else but your face.
Absolutely.
Because then I might not have drawn the Aquaria reference from it.
Right. I think it would also have been so much more impactful to see her face. Like, you claim you're a fashion girl. Like, if you would have just given us runway model.
Right. I would have guessed.
It would have been sickening.
And if the coat had bones hanging off it, bitch.
Oh, yes. That is definitely needed. But also, I'm looking at underneath. And I would have loved to see, like, some maybe nude undergarments. Or
I think she's just tucked. I think she's really, like, in a gray tuck it up.
Yeah, that's literally, it looks like a piece of duct tape attached to a waistband.
Yes, girl. That's what it is.
Oh, that's not cute to me. But maybe it's fashion and I just don't know it.
Like, a nude would have looked sickening.
Right, because then it, or even a sparkly nude would have really set this off.
Yeah, like, or like that latex, like, patent skin, white girl skin color would have been nice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That would have taken this to a different place. And also, but she looked great. Aquaria.
But she looked great.
Yeah,
at the end of the day, great. She looked great.
We're not taking anything away. It's just like, if you're going to do a recreation or something based on someone else, make it your own. I don't know.
Right.
So anyway, Taze comes out as a witch doctor.
Okay, so I understand the reference now. If you watched Buffy, her reference was the first Slayer.
Oh.
Which I, like, love that. I watched all of Buffy over quarantine, and I fully got it. And I already understood the whole, like, voodoo, like, witch doctor moment already. But then when she was like, my reference was the first Slayer from Buffy, I was like, holy shit, that takes it to a new place.
I love it. Okay. But I mean, Taze can do no wrong on the runway. I wish
she wore a panty, but that's
her pads were showing, but I really don't care. Like, she's a phenomenon on the runway.
Correct.
Sister in this dick wig, what did you think?
Now, not to say that she saw someone else's look in the closet again, but the mouthpiece, didn't love it. The fringe on the dress didn't make sense to me. And then also that little skeleton cat, I also have it, and it's $5 from Michael's. So if you're going to get something like that, you need to stone it, like, do something so it's not just you carrying a plastic cat bone, you know?
I think it has stones.
The way I'm squinting to see if there are stones. Squinting.
So
she looks amazing, though. That's why I'm confused. I'm like, she looks amazing.
Right, exactly. And it looks like she took Ahura's face thing.
And Lawrence's print.
Lawrence's dress. And then said, I'll wear the wig that I brought the first time.
Right. Like, did she? And then she posted the other day, she was like, I brought this look the first time before you start pointing fingers.
Oh, okay. Sure.
And it's like, did you? Right. Who's to believe?
Who knows? Either way, it was a bunch of, like, references that didn't really line up to me. Because, like, why is this rich-looking lady wearing that skull face mask? I don't know. Whatever.
Like, she could have just served, like, prehistoric cunt. I think without the face mask, it would have been completely different. And it would have been so cunty.
Oh, yeah. But speaking of cunty, what did you think of Tia Coffee?
I think Tia Coffee needed another edit of this look.
You another said it look?
Like, what did you say? You said it looks like a square piece of fabric with a body sewn in it.
Yes, it looks like she laid down on a piece of, like, a triangle diamond-shaped piece of fabric, and they just sewed her into it.
Which, it wasn't fitted. She said there were thousands of stones on it. Didn't see that. It was just confusing.
The way you're squinting.
I was just confused the whole time. But also, like, I understand what she thought she was doing, but that's not what she was doing. And I think there is something to be said about, right, that there is a major disconnect between what Tia thinks that she's doing and what she's actually doing.
Yeah. I see the thousands of stones now that I've looked at it for the third time, but, like, it's the veins, and they could have been bigger, because that's not going to read. Word to the wise, rhinestones barely show up on Drag Race. There's too much.
Unless it's like, hey, there have to be a lot of rhinestones.
Right. So I think she needed more. But then we get to the stunner.
Wow.
It is certainly her episode. She must have felt so relieved when this was the runway for Snatch Game, because she knew she killed it there. And I'm sure she knew she was about to change the fucking game in this.
It's just the, like, with the wig and the Iris Van Herpen reference actually done well, and the way that she, like, moved in the garment shows that she not only, like, was wearing a sickening garment and got it made by someone to, like, produce a garment reminiscent of Iris Van Herpen, a legend. She watched enough Iris Van Herpen shows and then practiced the runway in the garment, so she knew how to move to show off the garment and produce the bacteria effect in which she wanted.
And for that, we stand. Like, correct. It's just so apparent. Like, it just is so well done. That wasn't on accident. That was excellence.
Excellence.
Then we have Lawrence Chaney.
Absolutely terrible.
She looks... thought so?
Listen, here's the thing about Drag Race. If I saw her in a club, I'd be like gagging. I'd be like, oh my God, you look stunning. The body's there. This is the look. But when you're given a prehistoric runway, you give us a basic, like, what? That's not, is it like a tiger print? And then
saber tooth.
You aren't wearing teeth for some reason.
Because she doesn't have a dental plan.
But then you have stripes in your wig. Like, I'm confused. Like, there's not much, like, that's really clicking for me. And it's okay, Lawrence. Like, not every week is your week.
You know? She's definitely had better looks. Like, you know, it's okay. It's safe at best.
It's 100% safe. Not every outfit can be a winner.
And not every outfit can be, like, a game changer. Like, I love, my favorite runways are the ones that think outside the box, but somebody's gotta just hit it straight over the plate.
Which I think is what Ellie did. Like, when you give prehistoric, like, I immediately go to Flintstones.
Go Pebbles.
Which I also, maybe this is why I'm being hard on her. Because I did Pebbles and Bam Bam with my boyfriend for Halloween. And this, to me, gives drag queen Pebbles. Like, you have the exposed corset for God knows what reason. You have strips of fabric for absolutely zero reason. The wig is absolutely stunning. The bone didn't make a lot of sense. But, like, Ellie, I know you can do prosthetics. I saw you do it last week. I saw you do it the week prior for the spooky runway. So why not get a caveman forehead prosthetic? Because they do make those, and they are only $18 American. And people always are like, well, Ellie works at a fast food restaurant. And this ties back to even her, like, seaside runway. Like, if you're saying cost is an issue, she still wore basic drag queen faux fur as a seagull. When, if you don't have money, chicken feathers, number one, are the cheapest feather. Number two, you could have also used white 8x11 sheets of paper and cut feathers. Did something so it gives the feather effect. Like, you don't need money. You don't need, like, money to execute the vision.
She has some money. She's still working, okay?
Right.
Like, she has some money to work with, and that's apparent. Because, like, all this stuff is rhinestone. Those cost money. Like, you know.
Right.
But there is a way to do it. And I just think that she doesn't, again, know her perspective. And also, it just gives me very baby drag.
Right. Which, she's, give her 2 years, she's going to be eating the gurus.
Yeah. All-Stars. I'll see her on All-Stars.
See her on All-Stars. She'll be great.
So then we get to the judges' critiques and the results. And Ellie and Sister are safe. I was pretty shocked about Sister because I thought she would be in the bottom.
They're just saving her because she's, like, filler queen. It's fine.
Yeah, but isn't this where the filler queen meets the road?
I mean, I think they wanted Tia to last longer than she did.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they could have put Sister down there too. And but, just like,
but they knew that they were just going to keep putting Tia in the bottom. So they had to send that bitch home.
Yeah, that's true. Because she would have probably been in the bottom next week too. She loves it down there. They wanted more from Ahura.
Which I don't get, but based on the edit.
Based on the edit. Right.
I do understand.
They love Taze, because how could you not? I'm glad that her humor translated.
Correct.
They love Bimini, because duh. Because
Bimini ate the girls up.
Yup. They said Tia could be better, but also, oh my God, you're so skinny.
Right. They didn't stop being like, oh, she's so bodied. She's so this. She could be a model. It's like, you can't be a model if you can't walk. You can't be a model if you can't pose. If you're like, oh my God, Tia, you're beautiful, that is a fact. You don't need to lie to her and say she could be a model. Say she is a model.
Well, I think she could, given a lot of different changes. But my thing is they're saying it simply because she has a figure or whatever, a small waist, if you will.
Right.
They're saying that she should be this and that because you're skinny. And I'm just like, no, if she's a brick, she's a brick.
Period.
Even if she's skinny, like, stop this narrative that, oh, you're skinny, you should be successful.
That's not the case.
But, and it's so weird that the like RuPaul has such an obsession with her body.
Right.
When it's like, that's not what Tia's ever been about. She's been about the funnies and the and jokes. Like,
yes. Yes. And let her be that. Stop trying to make her this like sexy model. Like, that's not what she gives.
And it might not be what like what she ever gives.
Right.
Same with Jenny Lemon. Like, let them be them.
Thank you.
Anyway, whatever, RuPaul. Ugh. So, Bimini wins because, duh.
Correct.
And Lawrence continues to be emotional.
Which, I'm like, we've seen enough tears in this whole episode. Like, I just wish it would be done.
Yeah, at this point, you were like, bitch, she's cried every episode. It's been a lot. But she just feels like she's let RuPaul down. And I think that's kind of like the shoo-ins curse or whatever, like when you feel like RuPaul brought me here to win this challenge, or not this challenge, this competition, and I'm letting her down.
Oh, then you feel like depressed. But like, I get it, because but also think, like, RuPaul didn't pick you. The whoever casted that the show picked you.
I don't know, the way RuPaul talked about Lawrence Chaney, I feel almost like she might have.
I don't know.
There's no secret that RuPaul, like, has been to shows that Bob has been in or Monet was in before they were ever on Drag Race. So, you know, I do believe she looks at a quarter of the selected audition tapes.
Maybe. Or maybe when it gets down to, like, the final, she might skim.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just a little skim to be like,
Just so she knows what's up. Right, right. Like, oh, she's pretty, or like, oh, I hate her.
Or she's too pretty, no.
Right, she's giving too much of me, I hate her.
So, yeah. But Lawrence does end up in the bottom after all that crying. Right. And has to lip sync against Tia Coffee. Who do you think's going home?
Right, obviously Tia is going home because they're not sending Lawrence home.
No.
If it was sister-sister, Tia might have had a chance.
Right, and that would have been a cute lip sync assassin storyline for her, but I don't think the lip sync was that good.
Right.
I thought it was bad on both of their parts.
It wasn't good on, no. And the thing is, I feel like Lawrence felt defeated, but I also said this in the viewing party. They could have told Lawrence, like, girl, you're going to be safe. Like, we're just going to put you in the bottom for the gag. Like, it's fine. So I don't think she gave. Like, she didn't give lip sync like she felt like she was in danger.
You'd think so, because to me it seemed kind of the opposite. That it seemed very desperate. Like,
oh, it was desperate, but I don't think she was like, my whole heart is in this and I'm about to eat this girl up.
Yeah, yeah, definitely not that. It just seemed like kind of like she was still in her head a little bit about, like, maybe she thinks she's really going home. Like, maybe no one did tell her.
She also is a great actress.
Yes, there is that, but it's just like overdone. Like, her face is just, I mean, maybe this is how she lip syncs. We haven't actually seen her lip sync.
Right, right. But who's to say, you know?
Yeah, I haven't been to a Lawrence Chaney show, so I don't know. But Tia's doing her cute little teeny bopper thing.
Right, it's enough.
It's pretty meh. Like,
I don't love it, but I feel like that should help Tia lip syncs.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. But we know that the girls across the pond are more about their, like, live singing gig and that sort of stuff.
Love it for them.
But yeah, they're not really the best lip syncers. We haven't really been seeing that on display. But in the end, Tia goes home. Rue wanted her coffee to go.
That's funny.
I thought that was so funny when she said that. And it was great because Rue had already said the question no longer remains about Dia.
Right.
So you'll always be my cup of tea. So she made the coffee joke and it was just a nice little button to prove that she is a smart, witty, funny girl. That you should book her to host.
Which I probably will. Someday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If she's already over here in the country.
Yeah.
But yes, she was a great queen and she will be missed, especially in those talking heads. But that wraps up this episode of Drag Race. Now let's talk about next week. What do the girls have to do next week?
Well, okay, right. So the suit, I don't love challenges. Like, I think that's like people's family members have died. So why are we doing like COVID challenges? Like lockdown super shiro. Like, what if you just called it a superhero? Like make yourself the baddest superhero. Like, it's all like touching back on COVID. Like, let's have a moment where we step away for an hour and a half and not think about the global pandemic that's killed almost over 500,000 people in America. Right. You know?
Like, it seems like a weird thing to capitalize on, especially while it's still happening.
Right. And like, also with this edit, the availability and ability to edit, they could have literally called it Superhero Challenge or Superhero Runway.
Well, no, because they want that twist. They want to see how it ties into lockdown, obviously. Hate. Like, ugh. Hate it. I mean,
hate it.
Whoever wins is probably going to be like, my superhero would make COVID go away.
And I'm going to be a fairy. And I'm going to be, I don't know, this could have been a really cool show. I'm excited to see what Cherry Valentine posts online.
Ain't that the gag when you're like, I just want to see what the Eliminated Girls post.
Because Cherry is a real lockdown superhero. She's a nurse. She was like on the front lines.
I hope it's a nurse look, because that's
it probably
cute.
Will be. I hope it is. And she's major anyway. She just wasn't giving for the show.
I know. And that sucks, because we say it all the time. You can be a great drag queen and not good at Drag Race. And you can be really good at Drag Race and not a great drag queen.
Right. Right, right. And I think that might be her, because like I follow her and I am very obsessed.
I know. She's just so sickening. Like, she just, her creativity is off the charts. And I really do love to see it.
Yes.
So, do you know any tea or speculation about the season?
Someone told me that one of my girls is not making it to top four. And the only one of my girls who seems disposable for top four, because they can't not they can't have a black girl not go to top four. And Tia and Astina are gone. So, Taze needs to be top four, period.
Of course.
It is the Lawrence Chaney show. So, Lawrence has to stay.
Yes.
It is the Bimini show, so Bimini must stay. So okay, I good. Heard that it's Ahura that goes out of my
No!
I know.
We've gotten so much good television and growth with Ahura, though.
I know. And I heard that the one who is top four is Ellie.
I don't want to see that. Please don't keep Ellie on my TV anymore. Oh, God.
It's going to happen, girl. It's either her or sister now. Come on.
Not going to happen. So...
Right, exactly.
I hope that is completely false, because
I do too.
I just can't live in a timeline where Ahura doesn't make. Well, I mean, Ahura on All Stars could be sickening. Could be sickening.
Literally.
Ugh. But thank goodness that Bimini is up there. I heard that Bimini took the 7 months and like really upped her drag.
Clearly, she looks great.
It's showing. Yeah, I don't know what she brought the first time, but
she's eating the girls.
Props. The best part about this show is when you literally can't wait to see what comes next.
I'm excited to just see Bimini keep going. And I like follow her religiously now. Like, just seeing what she's doing.
We have to stan. So that's all the speculation that I have. I think that all the tea that I have has like basically spoiled at this point. If it hasn't happened yet, it's like pretty lukewarm. Okay. So meh. I just look for more clues on Twitter about how living with Taze and Ahura is going.
Oh my God. Yeah, because they keep trying to play up this like sex storyline when they've been best friends and / roommates like this whole time.
Right. And I'm like, y'all aren't in a relationship, so y'all are just Judies.
They're literally just Judies, and the girls are like trying to really drag that out. And it's like, y'all haven't fucked your friends? Stop trying to act. Working doesn't fuck anyone. So
it's a storyline, okay? It's a storyline. Right. But one of the things that we see about Taze is that she has an injury.
Yeah, so that to me, I think it might be a stomach injury, but she doesn't look that shaken up about it. So I think it might just be like, oh my God, she's bleeding and needs like a stitch or two.
It literally has to be nothing. It can't be anything. Like, she's not going to get taken out of the competition for stabbing a finger with a needle.
Correct. It's not going to happen.
Could you imagine? What if that's how it happens? What if that's how Taze is eliminated?
Stop. I would lose my mind. I would absolutely lose my mind.
And it's like, Bimini, Lawrence, Ellie, and Ahura.
I would cry. I would absolutely cry.
Oh, no. We can't have an all-white top four. They couldn't do that to us. Please.
They wouldn't do it, right?
Child?
They would do it, right?
I've been surprised before.
I hate this. I hate it.
Ugh. But anyway, that brings us to the end of this episode, my love.
We did it.
We did it. We did it. This was so much fun. Thank you for doing the viewing party and also the podcast. It was always a fun time to like kiki with you.
It was so much fun. And I can't wait to see you soon.
Yes. Big things in the works.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, I will see y'all next time. Have a great day. All right, that's all for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I can't wait to do it again next week. Anchor allows you to send in voice messages, so check out the link in the episode notes if you have any questions or comments for the show, and we just might respond to them on air. Until next time, keep it cute, keep it real, and don't let anyone steal your joy. I'm Laveau Contraire, and this has been Local Drag.